Hawk opened his comm and called his partner. Her surroundings, Lannery Brock decided, were beautiful. Underground seas flowed through large caverns, smoothed with high vaulted ceilings, and natural minerals gave off enough light to create a twilight effect. It was no wonder the rich of Zarist chose to live in the warm caverns rather than the cold surface of the moon. It was calm on this island, lending itself to meditation. Peaceful. The negotiations were not. The management of Desane Mining and the manual laborers were now simply shouting at one another. Ill will was building. Lannery was finding it difficult to maintain balance between the light and the dark sides of the Force, as she was taught. Management consisted entirely of the extended Desane family, which was headed by Eomin Desane, the tall, pale, patrician head of the clan. The workers, both human and alien, were led by short, weather-beaten Arco Santis, and demanded a voice in how the company was run. They left Zarist to labor at the gas mining operations floating above Obri. The pay was steady, if not generous, but it was a hard life. For their part, the Desanes were loath to cede control to anyone who was not family. The solution, it was decided, would be a marriage between Brahm Santis, Arco's oldest son, and Oma Desane, Eomin's youngest daughter. Brahm would become part of the Desane family and a voice for the workers. Lannery had gotten stuck with the role of negotiator, and though it wasn't the solution she would have suggested, if it satisfied all parties concerned, then it satisfied her. That was before Oma Desane vanished. Each side blamed the other for her disappearance. Work at Desane Mining had ground to a halt. Tempers flared, and open-class warfare looked not only possible, but likely. Lannery and Hawk had been sent by the Jedi Council on Tython to prevent violence and find the girl. Lannery's comm buzzed. The ranger swung her long legs out of the chair, turning away from all the shouting. "Please tell me you found the girl."
"I may have found her," Hawk replied. "I went to the spaceport to check who arrived or left around the time of the kidnapping. I discovered a Shikokwan ship, registered to Baron Volnos Ryo."
"Your brother?"
"My brother, the crime lord."
Lannery could picture Hawk's lips twisting in distaste.
"He owns interests in the mining operations on Obri's two other moons, but he's never been able to get a foothold with the Desanes. One of the ways to increase the value of his own holdings is to decrease the value of his rival's holdings. Are you growling?"
"Maybe. Will Oma still be alive?"
"Her body hasn't been found, so it's likely. If they intend to kill her, it'll be when the two sides are at each other's throats."
"Which will be soon."
"You have to keep them from reaching the boiling point. I think I've spotted where Oma is being held, but you can't say anything until I know for sure. I'll let you know what I find. Keep the workers and management from killing each other."
"Right. You get the easy job."
"The Force go with you."
Lannery turned back to the round wooden table and narrowed her gray eyes. Both sides were already at the breaking point. Violence was ready to erupt. But Lannery had a theory. Sometimes the best way to cut off violence was to use it first. Her right hand dropped to the slug thrower at her hip. She didn't often carry one, didn't need it most times, but something told her to wear one today. If there's one thing Lannery learned through her experience, it was to listen to her instincts. With one fluid move, she aimed the slug thrower straight up over her head and fired three bursts into the ceiling. The arguing stopped dead, and all eyes went to the auburn-haired ranger. Jedi were mysterious beings to most of the sentients of the settled worlds. They went where they willed and intervened where they chose, or, they claimed, as the Force directed. They had strange powers and were both respected and feared. Right now, Lannery was feared. Good. That meant she had their attention. The slug thrower still in her hand, the Jedi ranger sat back in her chair, placing the weapon on the table before her. The barrel pointed at the now-silent delegation. She spoke quietly. "The last time I was a negotiator was on Skalgora. Before I was done, forests were ablaze, and one of the parties was dead. She leaned forward. I was hoping these negotiations would go smoother. In truth, the deaths and the burning forests on Skalgora haunted Lannery. The negotiators here on Zarist, however, didn't need to know that. Perhaps we should begin again, she suggested in a low murmur. They did, quietly, and with nervous glances in her direction. Certain he hadn't been seen by anyone, Hawk reached the side of the five-story building and glanced upward. One guard was directly above him, and the other would be across the roof. It was vital that he silence both before they could give alarm, assuming the girl was alive. The ranger brought his sword out of its sheath without a whisper, holding it in his right hand as he let the balance within him slip into the dark side. Hawk knew the dark side well. He dwelled too deeply in it once, and it got him sent to Bogan, a moon of Tython where those who drifted too far to the dark side were sent by the Jedi Council for solitary reflection and meditation until they returned to the balance. Right now, he needed to use aggression, however, which meant channeling the dark side. He eased into it with a comfortable familiarity, while he crouched and then leaped straight upward, letting the force carry him. Hawk cleared the edge of the roof, right in front of the very surprised Twi'lek guard, and without hesitation slashed his sword across the guard's neck. He died silently. The other guard sensed something amiss and started to turn. Hawk gestured with the force and pulled him across the roof. The guard gasped for a moment before being impaled on the ranger's sword. Their eyes met, and Hawk recognized him. Dion Aarla, one of his brother's personal guards. Aarla's eyes registered recognition as well, and then life faded from them. Hawk felt his death in the Force, and part of him, the part that fed on the dark side, felt deep satisfaction. The ranger let the body slide off his sword and took a deep breath, centering himself again in the balance. It was tempting for Hawk to just stay in the dark side as he had once before. It was seductive, but dangerous. Hawk found a stairway in the middle of the roof leading down into the building and descended cautiously. Two floors down were two large rooms on either side of the stairwell, the doors left wide open in the haste of the evacuation. At first blush, they appeared to have been used as dormitories for workers that were unmarried. Cots were overthrown, and debris littered the floor. Hugging the stairway wall, Hawk glanced through the doorway